Hello, everyone, and welcome back. It's episode 47 of the 5-Minute Major Podcast St. Louis, brought to you by Across the Board. This is finally our Central Division breakdown with predictions for 25-26. We're excited to talk about all these teams. This is arguably the most competitive division in hockey, besides maybe the Atlantic. So, we're just going to hop right in. Then we'll finish with the Blues, obviously, and we're going to have a little special guest on to help us talk about that, which you'll see momentarily. Josh, how are you doing?
Oh, we're doing good. As you can see, I have a fresh, new, clean backdrop, which is pretty sick.
Pretty cool, man.
Yeah, so it'll make its real big debut at our event that is coming up here in October that we hopefully will have a date very soon for y'all. But yeah. Things are good, staying busy, and... ready to talk some hockey, and I'm ready for hockey to get going, you know.
Yeah.
Celebrated my birthday at the opening of training camp, so I can't really complain.
Yeah, and then you had Blues and Brews, and now,
yeah.
Yeah. We're going.
We're going.
Preseason started.
It. Yeah. All right.
All right.
So we are going to hop in to the Central. All right. I'll run the division rankings from last year, so the standings. So the Jets did finish at number one, like we know. We played them in the first round. They finished with 116 points, followed by the Stars with 106, Colorado with 102, the Wild with 97, the Blues, who were their second wild card, with 96, the Mammoth at 89, the Predators at 61, and the dysfunctional Blackhawks at 61. Or Predators were 68 and Blackhawks were 61. So I don't know what to expect. I think it's going to be very similar to last year, but we'll kind of hit the ground running if you want to take it away with Chicago.
All right. Yeah, we're going to go from worst to best from last year and then end with the Blues, obviously. Our least favorite team, the Chicago Blackhawks. Hello, yeah. Everybody. All your Blackhawks fans that aren't listening and maybe are listening. Who knows? You know how this goes, everybody. Door opened or closed. We're going to name some top players and maybe predict how they're going to do. And then we'll kind of end with like their biggest question mark. Yeah. Obviously, their door's just like slammed shut right now and yeah. Locked on three deadbolts. Like, it's not going to open anytime soon. You know, there's obviously promising talent. We know that. You know, the Bedards, the Spencer Knights, they brought back Teravainen. Donato had a heck of a year and signed. So, I mean, they have the talent to have some fun games, but they're just not a playoff team at all. Like, barely competitive, if anything, to be honest.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to say?
Yeah, this team, I feel like they should be better than what they are. Like, truly, like,
kind of, they should be more like a Sharks, I feel like.
Yeah,
don't
like,
they? I mean, they have their Bedard, just
they
like
have their
Sharks
Bedard.
Have a Celebrini. Like,
I mean, Teuvo Teravainen's a good player. I think Frank Nazar, who got a buku pay up from what he was making.
For a youngster
who paid. Really has not played a whole lot of games. I think there is a big potential there, but like, I still have a lot of questions on this defense because I don't know. There.
I mean, you got rid of, like, basically your star defenseman in Seth Jones, and then he won a cup in Florida.
Yeah.
And he played insane.
And that's the thing. Like, I get he was not great for them, and they paid him a lot of money. But
yeah.
Also, like, that team was just terrible.
Yeah, it's just the way it is right now. Like, you're kind of in that rebuild mode, which can take forever. But if you do it right, you can get out of it faster than usual, like the Sharks, I think, are going to do.
Yeah.
And probably the Blackhawks. But, like, don't be like Buffalo. You know,
no.
Like, like, don't be in the constant retool. Like, it's not going to work.
And that's the other thing. I think the biggest thing in this team is they have a lot of young talent, and they can't rush it. If they rush it, they're going to mess up this talent. And
I agree.
Joey Vitale's always talked about you have a culture of losing, and that stink gets in that locker room, and you don't want that stink to go down to your young players.
Yeah.
And I do worry if it is affecting Bedard and what his future is going to be there.
Yeah,
I
saw
love
some
Ryan
clips
Donato being there,
yeah.
But I mean, Connor Bedard, I feel really bad for because, and you know my feeling, I think he's a very good player. I don't think he's as great as everyone thought he was going to be.
Yeah, I think he's still undersized, and I think he is not a center.
No.
So we'll see what happens. If maybe he bulks up and he kind of takes a leadership role. I mean, I kind of saw him doing that during like training camp videos. So I was like, okay, he's out there wanting to win, you know, but just his team is not very good. But what else are you going to do? You got drafted first overall. You're usually the worst team.
That's true.
You know, it could be like a Joe Thornton situation. Gets drafted high, plays there for a few years, and then just gets sent somewhere else and then plays insane there too. So, but maybe never wins anything.
and that's the other thing. And the crazy thing, and we'll talk about this when we get to Minnesota, there are the rumors that Kirill Kaprizov would want to go to Chicago. And I mean, that'd be cool for them. Trajectory for Chicago would do a 180.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, it would for sure.
But you still got to fix your back end, in my opinion. Like, and there's still some young talent in Chicago that's good on that back end. But I think I got too many question marks on this roster and what they're going to do.
Yeah, and that is the biggest question mark, is like, when are you going to finally take that next step? Are you just going to keep drafting first overall picks? Like, you kind of have to take that next step. And it's up to the youth to develop in 2 to 3 years. And if you get lucky drafting, like, really well, like you did, then it is what it is. But they're not going to be good for a while, and we know that, and that's okay.
And it kind of sucks because you like that rivalry. That's the worst part, I think.
I know.
The only reason I hate that they're bad is because I liked when they were competitive, when you go back to those matchups where it was Friday night
2016,
games,
2016. Brower, game seven goal. Like, that type of stuff is game-changing.
And then the Taves-Backus battles. Like,
oh, yeah.
It was so much fun to watch. But that being said, window's closed. I think our prediction is they are dead last in the NHL this year again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They will take that spot. All right. Next team, buddy.
The Nashville Predators. Is their door open? Is it closed? We have it as closed. It's one of those things. They have some top players in Ryan O'Reilly, Forsberg, UC Sara, Stamkos, Marshall. But they just couldn't put it together last year. And I think my biggest question that I kind of had with this team is, what is the future? Because your roster says win now. And Barry Trotz is the other question, is fantastic coach. Loved him as a coach. He was a dynamic coach, but is he built for management? And I mean, he did go all in. He did pick players that if you would have asked me, if you were putting a team together and you added Stamkos, who still was doing great, and Marchessault, I would have felt confident in that team. And then you added Brady Shea too on the back end. So they did a lot of things that I thought were going to work out, but I don't know if it was too many chefs in the kitchen and you just didn't mesh, or is this a group of guys that are winding into the back end of their career and not in a prime that can carry a team? So what do you think, Mikey?
I mean, I agree with you. I think we talked about it. There's too many captains in the locker room. Like, I think that's what it was. I think they just didn't mesh, and it is what it is. And that can happen. Like, you can have some star players, and sometimes they just don't work well together, and this might have been one of those things. Like, but is Barry Trotz going to let it ride? And I think he is, and try and make this year completely 180 again, like, basically do a 360, or is it going to do the same thing and he's going to have to retool on the fly again? So it's like, and will he even have a job after that? Yeah. So it's like really tough to gauge.
He has to have a job. You look at Yzerman, who still has a job. Yeah, I feel true. Like you can't give up on Barry Trotz. But like this decor, you have Roman Josi, Nicholas Hag, Brady Shea, Nick Perbix, Adam Willsby, and Justin Barron, which I don't really know as much about the bottom pair.
Yeah, but the first two are all right.
Your top four is not bad.
Yeah.
And then your first line of Forsberg, O'Reilly, and Evangelista.
I thought Evangelista's contract is kind of up in the air.
Well, it still is, but I feel like they have to get it done.
Yeah, you have to, dude.
Because
he's kind of one of your only young stars, I feel like. Or not stars, but like quality players.
He's 23 years old, yeah.
That can eat 17 minutes a night or whatever. Like, other than that, like, on paper, like, I had him winning the Central, I think, last year. And they just tanked. It was just insane. I mean, I think Saros kind of had a down year, too. I think overall, it was just all over the place. And Brunette, the coach, like, on the Hockey News STL article, I had him as on the hot seat because Yep. He was saying some stuff where I'm like, why would players want to play for a dude who like is like, you guys suck, basically.
Yeah.
It's going to be really interesting to see. They have the players to like do another 180 and make a wild card or something or shock the world. Yeah. It's just up to those vests to kind of mesh. Personally, I have them missing the playoffs. I don't think they're going to be nearly as bad, but they will be missing the playoffs, in my opinion.
I agree with you. Okay. And as of one or a couple hours ago, Darren Dreger did report ongoing discussions between Nashville Predators and Luke Evangelista still remain significantly apart. So,
yeah.
And that's it sounds not like good. He will be returning to Canada to continue training while negotiations are going on.
So is this one of the, so like, and with the McTavish, is it the same thing? Are they both restricted?
I believe he's restricted. Yeah. Because so, he's coming off his, he just finished his 3-year deal. Yeah. Under $800,000.
So in this situation, like, does he just like sit around and not play and wait? Like, cause he's restricted. Like, I don't know how that works exactly. Can they like just give up his contract and be like, go sign somewhere else?
No, so I think they can maintain his rights until a certain part within the year. Okay. And then at that point, you either have to sign or either, I think they enter free agency in a way.
That's wild, man. But like, could you imagine if that happens to McTavish, dude? He's just a free agent. Like,
yeah,
he's going to get a ticket.
And don't quote me on that. I feel like the cap scenario and the with
yeah
the
things have changed so much too, have changed. This year.
So it's one of those things though that we go from the Blues offering offer sheets to you have Mason McTavish who put up almost 20 something goals last year. You have Evangelista who's a solid player.
Yeah,
who you're like, what are we doing here? Like,
I agree. What are we doing here? Because you got to get him signed.
You got to get him signed. I mean. What did he put up last year?
Because, I mean, Marchessault, Stamkos, and O'Reilly are all old. You need somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, holy moly, you need a youngster.
32 points in 68 games last year. 10 goals, 22 pretty good. Assists. Yeah, I mean, he's not a world beater. He played 13 minutes. I mean, but...
So he's your good... He's a solid, like, top sixer when you're rebuilding, which you're going to inevitably have to do with the old contracts you assigned.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, I like having Nashville be good, too, because those games are fun, too.
Yeah.
But when they stink, it's like their fans are already bad enough. Like,
and I will say, it's a fun arena to go to. You and I both
it was fun when I went.
It's a fun.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You can't say there's very few arenas that put on the entertainment outside of the game just as much as the game, and they have it.
I was almost, like, annoyed by it.
Yeah, it's so good.
Because we are just hockey. Like, we're there to watch a hockey game. And when you're, like, blasting music and, like, you have a concert and stuff, we're like, what is this, man? Roll was at the game I went to, so I was like, what is happening?
The annoying part is after the goal where they're like, you suck. I was like, come on. All right.
We had to hear that twice, but then we came back in the third period and beat them. So it was like, oh, whoopsie.
So we'll see. A lot of question marks. It's a good roster. We're not saying it's not a good roster.
On paper, for sure.
On paper, it's a really good roster. So it's going to see if they can mesh this next year.
Yeah.
All
right. So let's move on. The new and improved Utah Mammoth, formerly the Utah HC, formerly the Arizona Coyotes, formerly the Winnipeg Jets. you know what? Props to you guys, man. Bill Armstrong and like Ryan Smith, like the guy who owns the team, like you guys are doing work, man. The new training facility is awesome out there. Like the new arena is going to be sick. Your logo's amazing. Like, and you have such great young talent. And you picked up a couple Stanley Cup champions this offseason, too. So, like, you kind of stacked up to build a playoff contender. I think, personally, their window, like, just now finally opened. Like,
they are open.
It was maybe cracking a little bit with like the Keller going off for 90 points and all that. But like now that you have a Vanacek to back up, Veggie, like Sergachev, and now you brought in like the Paterka sign or trade was crazy. So like you guys are going to be high flying and you guys can score some goals. So I think they're going to be competing for a wild card spot. Like, there's no doubt.
I love this defensive group. So it's
Sergachev. I really wish they still had Kesselring. I know. If they did, I think they'd be a lock for wild card too, and we would be maybe like the Blues would be questionable.
Yeah,
because this Utah team's going to be fun.
But it's a hockey trade. We saw that with the Blues.
And yeah, we'll talk the Bolduc for like, Mayu. Yeah,
yeah, like it's a hockey trade, and then JJ Paterka is good.
Yeah, and dude, he's really good.
That first line potential of Gutierrez, Logan Cooley, and Paterka. And then your second line is Keller, Hayton, and Schmaltz.
Yeah, man, they're like, young and they're high flying. Like, the only thing is I feel like they can't lay hits. Like, they can't play almost playoff hockey. Like, if they make it, they're going to figure out that they might need a bruiser or two.
But you look at this D now, and you have Sergachev, Ian Cole, and Nate Schmidt.
Yeah, those are some legends, honestly.
And then, like, I love Ali Mata, and I will forever love Ali Mata. He's also a guy. Like,
solid.
Durzi is probably not going to be a guy that's going to lay on every bit of hit, but he can still
but
lay
the
body.
But he's like a producer. When he stays healthy, he was unreal when he was healthy. And then they still have Marino on the roster.
They do have Marino.
It's kind of like a sneaky, solid, deep defensive
you did
core.
You got Brandon Tanev.
Oh, man. Oh, so he's going to be flying around laying hits. Yeah. Yeah.
And Lawson. So, I mean, it's an exciting team. It's young. It has firepower. I think Clayton Keller is going to have a heck of a year. I know that.
In my opinion, he's on the Olympic roster, dude.
I agree.
He might get 110 points this year.
And I would love that. Like, I would love it for a St. Louis kid to be just in the limelight again. That
I know.
He can join the likes of Brady, Matthew.
Oh, yeah.
And Keller. Like, would
half
love
the U.S. teams from St. Louis.
Yeah. I love it. And it's good. And we need that. And that just shows how strong hockey is in St. Louis. And
yeah,
it's one that you can be proud of.
Yeah.
So
I mean, what do you think about their chances of either making or like winning a round?
If they get in, I think it could be similar to a Blues team where
compete for seven hard games and
see
what happens.
If they can squeak in, they'll give a team a run for their money.
I think so too.
So I really, realistically, I think five teams are coming out of the Central.
I agree. I think the Pacific is only three.
Yeah, the Pacific's the top three is what it is, and I think you're getting five teams out of the Central.
I think we might be under, like, this is kind of off topic, but I think we might be underestimating the Canucks. Because I think Quinn Hughes is going to go on a rampage this year, dude.
And if
Pettersson comes back normal, like, they're going to be a good team.
Yeah.
The only thing that's questionable is Demko staying healthy. So
Demko staying healthy, and it'll be
hard for Utah to overtake that team, I think. Yeah. But they could be better than the Blues this year. I mean,
it's because of how much they're going to
score goals.
Who can come out of the gate strong?
Yeah, it always is, right?
That's the biggest thing that always dictates.
Unless you're the Blues where you just finish like unreal, which is dumb every time,
but it just works.
You
can't bank on it every year, and that's the hard part, where you have to put yourself in a better situation where you're not fighting for your life by the end of the year.
Yeah, exactly. And this team, like, I love this Ryan Smith guy, this billionaire owner. Like, he is just... He loves Salt Lake City and he loves Utah. And when I went there, man, I was like, I'd move here in a heartbeat. Like, it's the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
Everyone's so nice. And like what stinks is they're losing the ECHL team, but now like everyone's going to be focusing on the Mammoth.
Yeah.
Like, I think even more than basketball out there. Like,
I agree. I think it's
going to be crazy.
The potential to really be a true competitor in the Central Division.
Yep. I mean, Arizona kind of was.
Yeah.
And then they brought the same team to Utah, and they just kind of had a couple rough patches, but they were still in it. Like, so we'll see. I agree with you. I think they're either barely missing or barely in, and then maybe competing for 7 games.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Next one, bud.
All right. Minnesota Wild. The door is open, but could be closing. I think there's some question marks with this roster, contracts going forward. But you still have some top players in Kirill Kaprizov, Brock Faber, Boldy, Gustafson. Like, you have a very good roster. And I would go to say Marco Rossi. Yeah. Bring him back, and that's still leaving out Joel Eriksson Ek. Like, you have the foundation of a very good team, but there's a lot of question marks around this roster in Kirill Kaprizov's future. And we have talked about it where Carolina's rumored to get him, New York is rumored because he would like to play with Panarin, Chicago, is if he likes the market. And he came out and he's like, you guys know I love it in Minnesota. But what do you want him to say? I hate it here, trade me? He's not going to say that openly.
Right.
And I don't know, like you said, maybe it's the Russian effect. And they did add Tarasenko, which is still weird to see him in Minnesota, man.
Yeah, it's going to be weird.
But I think we both can agree. We personally think they barely missed the playoff in a wild card spot. It's, I don't know.
Yeah, I think Utah has a better chance.
I do too. I think it's a better overall team.
I just think the injuries from last year, if they do that again this year, no way. Like, you have to stay healthy, and you really need your top guys to contribute all season. Like, they are kind of top heavy, I feel like, on the forward end. Their defense is pretty good, though, and their goalie is really, really underrated. If he can steal some games and you stay healthy and Kaprizov stays healthy, like, he needs to. He hasn't played a full season, like, ever. And if he doesn't, then sorry, man. I don't think you make it. Because Vladimir Tarasenko cannot fill that gap anymore.
No, and I think the other thing we're not taking into account, this season is going to be condensed.
Yeah.
Because of
the Olympics.
And teams with two goalies, a 1A, 1B, are at a better spot.
Or who's backing up Gustafson now that Fleury's out?
Jesper Wallstead?
I don't know.
I think that's who's backing him up. Don't quote me.
Oh. Let's look here. It is... rosters are kind of weird because of the training camps.
Yeah, so, I mean, you have Cal Pettersson.
Oh, okay. Riley. I'm seeing a Samuel Lavage from Slovakia or something. I don't think that's the guy, though. It must be Cal Pettersson.
No, I think it's this Jesper.
That's Wallstead?
Yeah, that's who Daily Faithoff is predicting as the backup.
Okay, well, Gustafson's got to have a crazy... Yeah, I mean, I don't want to underestimate the Wild, though, because they are always good enough to make the playoffs. They just are cursed. Right,
yeah.
They're just like a Toronto. They're cursed in that first round.
Underrated decor.
It really is. And
Jacob Middleton is underrated, amazing, in my opinion.
Spurgeon's still so good.
Spurgeon,
when he's healthy.
Middleton, Faber, Ziv Buoyan.
Oh, Ziv. Yeah.
So it's going to be Ziv's full first season. So, I mean, expect some growing pains there, but I think he's going to do well.
Oh yeah.
And then Zach Bogosian, who's no slouch in himself. He's getting older. He's getting a little slower, but he still plays a very good structured defensive game.
Yeah.
And they have our boy Nico Sturm.
So they're never losing a faceoff.
Nico Sturm, Joel Eriksson Ek, and Marco Rossi, and then Daniel Yurov.
I mean, okay. I mean, like, it's not bad. That's a competitive wild card team.
Yeah.
The thing is health, in my opinion. And, of course, Kaprizov silencing all the haters and all that. Like, if he can just go crazy and have a 82-game season and just have 130 points or something.
Yeah, if he can stay healthy. But
yeah,
but he doesn't stay healthy.
I know, and I think that's why the contract that he didn't accept is so wild. Like, if I'm injured like that all the time, I'd be like 8 years for... $15 million a year to stay where I'm already the guy and I can be hurt half a year? Like, heck yeah, dude. Sure. Unless he just is like, I mean, he said he wants to stay, but who really knows? Who really knows? The other, like, I wrote about this too in the Hockey News STL article. Like, the other thing is, does he want to be the first guy to sign one of those? And then after that, kind of set the tone. Because, like, if he signs one of those, then McDavid might be like, all right, I want that or more. And then Kaprizov is not the highest paid. Or, like, you know, you can never know. It could be something to do with the money and not being the guy to set the tone for superstar money when he knows that people might make more than him, like a McDavid. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't want to take money away from other superstars almost.
No, I agree with you.
So, I mean, when your team is kind of banking on almost one guy staying healthy or like a couple guys staying healthy, it's kind of hard to pick them to be good.
Yeah.
I have them missing barely, but they're going to be competing with Utah and the Blues and Vancouver for a spot.
I agree. Yeah. Like, I think that's going to be the biggest question mark is health and longevity of this team.
Yeah. Agreed.
All right, you want to take over to the next team?
Yeah, it is the Colorado Avalanche, another arch nemesis of ours. This team has been good forever. Like, it feels like they're not going to slow down. Their door is still open. They're going to be good again. They have MacKinnon, they have Makar, they have Natchez. They have a decent goalie tandem now. Their defense is still pretty solid with Taves and Girard back there. I still think their forward group is kind of lacking on the bottom six, but they are so fast that it almost doesn't matter. If they just like keep up the pace for the top two lines, then they'll be good.
Yeah.
Another thing is they brought in some more vets with Brent Burns. So Burns is kind of back there shutting guys down on that third D pair. So like they kind of solidified some defense. I think they're going to regress a little bit, but they're going to be really, really good still, which means a lot in the Central. Like, I have them at third in the Central, which is like they might be only a point behind Dallas, like,
yeah,
or Winnipeg or whatever. So, yeah, this team's crazy. I don't think they're going to compete for a cup, though. Like, I still think they might be a second round bounce, but because I think Dallas is better and stuff like that. But
yeah,
I don't know, man. You never know with this team. They could be like, they could just do it. Yeah. Like,
that's the thing. It's that this whole team is who can stay hot, who can stay healthy. That's how the Central is going to go this year. Cause
yeah,
it's going to be a bloodbath to the end. Yep. You have to win your division games. It's going to come down to, can you win your division games? Can you continue to go from there? But that being said, you need Martin Natchez to really show up again this year.
Yeah.
And, yep. What Brock Nelson and Gabriel Landeskog are you going to get? That's going to be the big thing.
I forgot about Brock.
Brock,
bad year.
He did not look great in the playoffs to me. And I think that's going to be the big question mark. But they did sign Victor Olofsson, who I wrote about in the Hockey News, as
a good pickup.
Good little depth piece that they added.
Especially losing Drouin. Like, Olofsson's good for 15 tucks, especially on the Avalanche. So, I mean, they're going to be the same old team, man. Hard to beat, but like sometimes that speed in the playoffs kind of kills them. I think that's why they didn't win last year. It was Dallas, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think that's why they lost to Dallas. Because
truly, if you weren't spending the amount of money on Valerie Nichushkin and you were able to put it into another player and or players, you're top in this division.
I can agree with that because Nichushkin's like really good. He's had his issues, obviously. Yeah. Like, he's really good, but he's not. I mean, how much is he making? Like eight?
Yeah, like he's getting overpaid.
You can definitely, you could have put, I mean, Brock Nelson's getting overpaid too. But you could have put that eight towards like, you know, whoever signed for eight this offseason. Like, so, I mean, that's a good point. But that's all hindsight 2020 kind of thing, unfortunately, right? So, you kind of have to work with what you got. And if he can stay, you know, okay off ice, he's going to contribute.
Yeah.
All right. My biggest question mark, sorry, before Avalanche is still goaltending. It always has been. It always will be. I think Wedgwood and Blackwood are solid as a 1A, 1B, but rumors is that I think it was Blackwood already got hurt or whatever, this training camp. So it's like, are you throwing Wedgwood to be your guy for a while? Like, oh, man. Like, I just cannot believe when they won the cup, they let Kemper walk. I still can't believe it. But anyways, on to the next.
Dallas Stars. So, very good team again. I'm excited to see this team play. They did lose Granlund, which I was a little sad about.
I agree.
And Marchment.
Agree with that, too.
Some guys that... But when you give contracts like you do, this is the issue. When you pay guys a lot of money...
Rantanen
got paid, but this window's still open. They're still a very good team. Johnson, Robertson, Harley, Rantanen, Ottinger.
Oh, yeah.
First in the Central. We agree on that.
You agree with me on that, okay.
I agree with you on that. I also will say this will be the best season we have ever seen Jake Ottinger play. He will solidify himself as the number one USA goalie, in my opinion.
I think so too, man.
He's
going to carry him.
He's going to carry them. And I could see Dallas making a run to the Stanley Cup Finals, in my opinion.
Finally.
New coach. And
yeah, that is kind of a question mark for me.
That's their question mark, I will say. But Jake Ottinger is going to be a man on a mission, and I am pumped.
I love that guy.
I love him too. And he's going to be one of the goalies. I think it's going to be Ottinger, Swayman, and Hellebuck again for Team USA. But I think this Olympics, if you're going to win, either Hellebuck needs to learn to win big games or let Jake Ottinger run with it. Just let him go.
I think Otter is the guy for sure. I think he's the best. I mean, it's hard to say he's the best, right? Because of Hellebuck being so good, too.
Statistically is the best goalie. Yes, I agree with you.
Ottinger just has more like big game experience. Like I just feel like he can do it. I agree with everything you said. I have nothing else to say about the Stars. I think they're going to be first in the Central. I think they're going to compete to the conference final again. And then if they can beat the Oilers or the Knights, finally. They're into the cup. Yeah. That's just all I got to say. They're so good. They're so deep.
Yeah.
Still, even after the trades. Like, and Rantanen's going to go crazy this year. Like, I can't see them being any worse than second.
I agree. And
I don't think the Jets are going to be as good. So.
No, I agree. And talking about the Jets, let's segue into them. We can agree the window is still open. They still have great players in Scheifele, Connor, Morrissey, Hellebuck. Didn't add much at the offseason. They added Jonathan Toews, I'm excited to see. I think it is going to be interesting to see how he bounces back into playing in the NHL.
Yeah.
We have them. I would agree. I think they're second or third place in the Central Division. The biggest question mark to me is, can Hellebuck carry this load with a heavy, condensed season? And play heavy minutes for Team USA. And can they break the Canadian curse, like you said?
Exactly.
I don't know. They're still a very good team, but I think there was room for them to go and improve. And they didn't go out and improve. I think Lowry's going to be out for part of the beginning of the season because of surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all going to go back to, in a very competitive Central Division, are you going to come out of the gate competitive?
I mean, and it's the dreaded Central Division. If you are second or third in the Central, you are playing the Stars or the Avalanche. Like, good luck, man. It's just the way it's built right now. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Kyle Connor's going to go crazy. Scheifele's going to go crazy. Hellebuck's going to be great. But then when you get there, you need to finally get over the hump. Like, Canada, like, I mean, they have Edmonton, but Canada is begging for something.
Yeah.
Like it would be insane if it was Winnipeg, Edmonton in the conference finals. Like, that would be nuts. So, but can they do it? I just don't know. I think they stayed the same, which means they technically regressed because I think other teams got better.
Yeah. I think you go back to the Armstrong quotes where if you're not getting 5% better, 2% better, 10% better, Like, stagnant hockey loses you in the Central.
Agreed.
And agreed. I think you can be stagnant in other divisions, aka the Pacific, who, like, the top three teams are the top three teams, and that is what it is.
Yeah, that's kind of how it is.
And you may have some teams kind of improving, but, like, the Central's a gauntlet, and it's competitive with strong goalies. And that's probably us being biased as Blues fans in a way. But I think even from the outside perspective, it's more of a physical division.
Yeah.
It's big, rough hockey. It's fast hockey. It's competitive hockey. And think of the amount of superstars you have within this. MacKinnon.
Oh, yeah.
Makar. Kaprizov. I would say Hellebuck. I would say Kyle Connor deserves to be in that talk.
Oh, yeah.
And then you go to the Predators, which you have stars of the past.
Of course.
And then Chicago, you have blooming stars in Connor Bedard. And then the Blues, you have very good players like Robert Thomas, Jordan Kyrou, Colton Parayko. So this division is going to be a difficult one. And it's going to come down to who comes out of the gate competitive strong, who has strong goalies 1A, 1B, and who can stay healthy, and who has the depth to survive the injuries that will come this year.
It's true. It's true. I agree with you, buddy. I think they're going to be competitive again, but I don't know, man. They might do the same old thing. They always do. And I don't know if that has to do with the playoff format or if that's just the fact they are stagnant with their roster, which is okay. You're going to be in the playoffs, but you might not win.
Hello, everyone. Welcome here to the 5-Minute Major Podcast of STL, presented by Across the Board. Yes, that's right. We are now partnered with Across the Board Handcrafted Unique Entertainment, which is a one-of-a-kind St. Louis-based company that creates some of the best games in the country. They have games ranging from horse racing to NASCAR, baseball to hockey. Across the Board provides quality entertainment for all ages. Here's one of their penny hockey games that we were able to partner with them on. So it has our logo, which is super cool. You can play this game at home. You can display it in your man cave. There's so many different potentials that you can do with these games. But you should check them out, guys.
We couldn't be happier to have Kim McDaniel and her company on as a sponsor or partner. Her and her husband started this company from their garage 17 years ago, and it's blossomed into something so cool and amazing. You will learn lots more about them, so please stay tuned and make sure to check their links in the description below to know more about the McDaniel story and Across the Board. Okay, everyone, we have our special guest on for our Blues topic. It is Mr. Mike Meyer. Welcome back. Woo! He's back. Third time's the charm.
Hey, what's going on, boys?
Man, we love having you on.
Yes.
You have some great insight for, you know, all the junior, you know, prospect, any sort of underlying things for Blues hockey. So we're happy you can be here and help us out. We kind of just prefaced you how it works, and I guess we'll just start her off. Josh, you can start.
Yeah. So this Blues team, I think we all can agree that the window is finally opening for this team. And I think we saw that with a playoff berth last year. Returning players again, you have Kyrou, Thomas, Binnington, and we also lumped Holloway into top players coming into this next season. But with all that being said, I think with the camp starting this week and then these two preseason games, I think there are some competitions for roster spots, and I don't know how you guys are kind of feeling about that, and especially you, Mike. Do you think Luchik has a spot on this team potentially? What do you see with the future of a Texier and Joseph? Because I think they're fighting for their lives right now. And can Justin Carbonneau really make this step into the NHL that people are kind of wondering if he can?
So let's go through that point by point, because there's a lot to unpack there. Lucic, I think there's a lot of value that could be brought in from a guy here like Milan Lucic. Is he going to be an everyday fourth liner? Probably not at his age, with the amount of time that he's missed coming into a run and gun, high speed offense here, like a Jim Montgomery style offense. It's going to be tough for him to be able to crack into it. That being said, again, like there's value that he can absolutely be able to bring, whether it's just mentorship off the ice, on the ice here, just during practice, training, drills, all of it. I mean, he's absolutely a guy who I would love to be able to see make the team as an additional 13th forward. How much playing time he's going to get, though, is really, I think, going to be up to him and then up to injuries here also, because even though that there's going to be injuries, I mean, there could be a guy who's called up here from the minors and take his spot here as well. So it's going to be tough. I haven't seen really much just yet that I'm hugely in favor of, but again, he's shaking off the cobwebs, and so it's kind of a wait and see. Texier and Joseph are absolutely playing for their lives here right now, because you've got other guys here like Nikita Alexandrov, who's trying to be able to knock his way here into the NHL. Finally, you know, we've seen him play before, but I don't know if necessarily it was the right system for him. And we've seen the success that he's had here so far in the AHL, playing on the wing, you know, no longer playing here at the center position. And that's where I think he has found a lot of success. He may just have been a slow grow, and there's nothing wrong with that, but he's finally, I think, coming into his own. I think the trick for him is going to be whether or not he can succeed at the center position, where they're a little bit weaker depth-wise, because they have a ton of wingers. And they've been testing him out right now at practice, as well as in these preseason games here at the center position. So I think they're absolutely trying to see what they've got in him here right now, but it's still a coin toss. Yeah. You know, can he still crack his way? And then finally, you know, Justin Carboneau, plain and simple, no. I would love to see him in the NHL. The kid's great, but, you know, same situation here, like a Dalibor Dvorsky. Send him back down here to the QMJHL here in this case, and let this boy just cook.
See, I agree with you, and I think so many people are just wanting him to be on this roster, and at least day one, and it was day one of camp, he plays a very individual style of game still, and he's a teenager, and he still looks like a teenager in his decisions, and I just think it's not worth rushing him at this point.
No, not at all. Not at all. There's not really a great spot for him on this roster. And in my opinion, I think it would be wise to take the Dalibor Dvorsky route. Let him just play and just cook in the CHL. You know, they're primed to actually win the entire thing. So this is, I think, a championship or bust type of a season for them in the Q. And if he can be able to make his way, get a great regular season, top power play, top minutes, you know, and just let him just go, and then let him get some postseason time and chase after that cup. That would be fantastic. And then, shoot, there may still not be a spot for him next year. Yeah. You know, absolutely, let him carve out a spot, but they're going to make things really, really difficult at that point. But there's nothing wrong with even letting him just go down to the AHL and letting him work, you know, here with some of those other guys. You know, he may still end up working here alongside of Stenberg.
Yeah.
You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. Let him just keep growing, maturing, bulking up, and just let him just come here on his own time. He could push for a roster spot next season. I mean, we've seen the talent, but like you said, he's a teenager. He's got to be able to learn some of those decisions, especially at a pro level, and just let him just get there here on his own time.
Yeah.
That's something you notice during like the training camp is the difference. And between the youngsters and the people that have played in the NHL or already, like, the decision-making is a huge one. I mean, it's just clear as day almost for even a fair, like, just a regular hockey fan who doesn't really pay attention that hard. Like, so that's a good point to make. I agree. I think his mental's there. His mental's definitely there. I think physically he's bigger than most, but he needs a little more experience, and he needs to like play with the other guys that he's gonna end up playing with.
I
don't want him to kind of join a team that's like kind of choppy on the bottom six with newer guys, and then those newer guys are gonna be gone, and then he's kind of just floating. I'd like him to come up at the same time with everyone else, but it might not happen that way, like you said, so just depends.
It's like spaghetti. You throw a bunch of noodles on the wall and you hope one sticks. And I think we're going to find that aspect, and that's stealing Chris Kerber's quote there. But it's one of those two where we talk about Carboneau, but the other guy that we should be talking about is Dalibor Dvorsky. Like, he's another guy. He's profiling, I think, as a winger right now, but we need him to be a center for this team in the future. And do you want him on this roster where he's around the team, or do you want him to go to the AHL and keep honing his craft as a center? And that's, I think he doesn't make this team, in my opinion. I think he does go back down. But also his work mentality, his work effort this year seems better in camp. But that pace of play is still a concern for me.
Well, and to use that, to go back to that analogy, you know, that you can just be able to throw the spaghetti noodles, you know, here to the wall. The benefit that the Blues have right now is this depth. And they have the opportunity and the luxury of making sure that those noodles are ready before throwing them at the wall. And this is a totally different time frame and a totally different atmosphere than when you're bringing up the Oshies and the Perrons and the Johnsons and whatnot. You know, they have that absolute, that luxury of waiting and knowing that these guys are ready. Yeah. And I think that is a massive, massive difference when, you know, look to Chicago. You know, I mean, again, like you guys are doing, you know, you guys are doing the Central Division previews. Chicago doesn't have that luxury. I mean, they could be bringing up and icing three rookies on their blue line. It's probably not going to happen, but you could see that happen. Yeah. St. Louis doesn't want to be able to make that mistake. St. Louis doesn't want to go down that route, and they don't need to go down that route. And so give your guys here and Jimmy Snuggerud a chance to be able to just let him just go, let him cook here in the NHL, because I think he's going to he'll get that that top six spot, but then he may end up going between like that middle six here throughout the most of the regular season. We'll see how he plays. But just let the other guys just continue to go and grow here at their own pace and insert them and inject them into the lineup when they're ready.
Yeah.
What do you think is like the biggest question mark, though, just in general for the team, like trying to make the playoffs again? Like, I mean, last year was crazy. It was almost feels like a one-off, you know, like, but I mean, I feel like the team almost got better on paper. So it's like, can we expect them to make the playoffs, or is it going to be another kind of fighting for our life in the last game of the season type of ordeal?
I think this is absolutely on paper. This is it's a playoff team, because if you look around the rest of the Central, those top teams now, I, in my humble opinion, are getting more top heavy than what they are depth heavy.
Yes.
So, you know, can Jordan Kyrou continue along here? I absolutely think that he could. You know, he's getting more line mates and more support around him, where he's not pegged as the guy to be able to pay attention here too. Same with Robert Thomas. You know, Dylan Holloway, can he replicate here what last season was? I think it's very well likely that he could. On defense, will Logan Mailloux be the guy that they're kind of hoping for him to be? Because making that trade of Zachary Bolduc here to Montreal, that was a big deal. And they are rolling the dice to hope that he's going to be that guy. They're not going to probably rely on him completely here at this point, but over the course here of the season, they're going to need Logan Mailloux to be a pretty reliable top four second pairing defenseman. And then in net, you know, everybody's singing the praises here of Jordan Binnington, and absolutely, why shouldn't you with the performance that he had last season? On paper, though, it wasn't overly great.
Yep.
So can he and Joel Hofer take a bit of a step forward? And if Jordan Binnington at least maintains that course, can Joel Hofer take maybe a step forward so that the Blues can maybe, again, it's not necessarily like raising the ceiling to me at this point. It's just reinforcing that foundation so that you're getting those wins and those points that you absolutely need against those teams that you should be getting those wins against.
Yeah, and I think to kind of build on your goalie conversation, the Blues have an upper hand, in my opinion, in the Central Division, having a good 1A, 1B compared to some of the other teams. And with a condensed Olympic year, I feel like you're going to have to get the best out of both of them. Like, it's not like one guy can't have an off month. It's like both of them need to be playing competitive hockey for us to stay in contention, I feel like, this year. Just because we talked about Winnipeg, and like, can Winnipeg do this with Hellebuck carrying the team again for another regular season and trying to be the guy for USA? I don't know. I don't think he can. But it's one of those that I think we're set up for more success with our back end compared to some of these other Central Division teams, and especially Chicago, because, I mean, Spencer Knight is a decent goalie, but he's not going to be able to carry a team into a playoff run, or Minnesota doesn't
have. At least
of
that stature.
And, like, Minnesota doesn't have a great 1B either.
Yeah.
So I like what you're saying. The foundation has to be there because we need that for the long term.
Yep.
To kind of build on that, where do you see Nick Bjugstad fitting? I think he could be your third line right winger. But a lot of people have him penciled in as your fourth line center. And I don't know if that's the case. What are you kind of thinking?
I have him starting on the wing, at least again, like penciled in here on the wing. I think you probably see either an Alexandrov or a Sundqvist starting in here at that center position here on the fourth line. I don't love that for Alexandrov, but that's just me being a homer because I want him to see at least like third line minutes here on the wing because I think that's a better opportunity for him. But if he can show defensive reliability, and I think that's why you're singing him on the wing right now, is can he play it and can he play it defensively and responsibly? Because I think that he could be able to grab that spot. But again, Bjugstad is absolutely a guy who you could see them potentially then flip. Mm-hmm. You know, that's one of the beauties here, I think, of this lineup. There's so much depth and there's so much fluidity here with it, is that week to week, you could see guys just mix and match and go up and down, and it doesn't matter because they're all capable of playing those spots.
Yeah.
So to circle back here to this, I mean, I think Bjugstad does start on the wing here on that third line, and then you probably have Sundqvist as your fourth line center. I don't know if that stays throughout the entire course of the regular season, but that's probably where I would chalk it up and just mark it down here, at least in pencil.
Yeah, and would Walker even have a chance to play center? Like, especially if Sonny's going to have, like, to start there, as you think, like, are his knees going to take it? I mean, the poor guy has been through so much, and Walker can win faceoffs. I mean, we've seen it, at least some. So
yeah,
I mean, could that an opportunity?
Could he? Sure. Is he big enough over the course of the regular season?
Exactly. Yeah.
And again, like if you need him to pop in here for a faceoff, great, go for it. You know, and again, it just goes back to that fluidity that they have, is that you can just insert guys and then just inject them where you need to and when you need to. Not a big deal.
Yeah.
So could he, maybe a couple of spots? I don't do it if I'm Monty, but Monty's also a lot smarter than I am. So let's be real.
Yeah, I think that's the question mark, because a lot of people have Walker as your healthy scratch, and I find that very hard to believe that Walker is a healthy scratch on this roster. Joseph and Texier are your odd man's out right now, if in my opinion. Because
yeah.
And the other thing too is, Sonny is probably going to split half the year on wing and half at center. I think yeah. You could see your fourth line potentially being Torpo, Sonny, Bjugstad, or Alexandrov with Sonny on the wing. I don't think Sundqvist's health will make it a full year, and I love him, but he has taken a beating, and he does that because he plays an all-out kind of game.
Yes.
But the big question mark out of all the centers, in my opinion, is Pio Suter going to be your second line center or your third line center?
I think he starts the year as your third line center, because I don't know how you don't at least try to go back to the Holloway Shen Kyrou line. That was one of the most dangerous line combinations going down the stretch. And as long as everything is looking fine, that should be your second line. So I think, again, the theme here of reinforcing that foundation, and again, as long as Suter's cool with it, I mean, I'm sure that he should be, but putting him at the third line to start the season, I just don't have the full confidence that Shen could be, with the game that he plays, that second line center all season long.
Yeah.
And it's nothing against Shen, because again, he just plays that rough game, and age catches up here with everybody. And we saw glimpses here of that throughout the season here last year. So I'm really thinking that by the end of the year, they're flipped. And again, it may just be on a game by game and a week by week kind of basis that you see a mix and match here of the two. But by the end of the season, I think that it's flipped.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I think people might see like all the changes in line combinations as a disadvantage for a team, but I think it's an advantage. Like, you just have that opportunity to constantly shuffle and like still be competitive. Like, and then once you find it, like you're hard to beat. Like it's just the way it is. So, I mean, we'll see.
Absolutely.
I like where your head's at.
I mean, cause let's face it, like how do you properly prepare a matchup and just say, okay, here's their first, second, third. Okay. I want you going up against the Thomas line. Oh, well, shoot. Okay. They just mixed this here again. Okay. Now, I mean, in-game preparation before, like it just all jumbles up. And I think it just hurts the team here more than anything, because then, especially, you know, again, like you're talking about the Chicago's here of the world, here, even up against like Minnesota, Utah, that these guys are going to find, I think, a hard time facing off against these guys. If the line combinations and the fluidity here that we're thinking could be happening, if that happens throughout the games and week to week, it's going to be hard to stop them.
Yeah,
totally agree. Josh, you have anything else to ask?
I think my question mark for this team still is your defensive depth. Because you have a great starting six, in my opinion, but that's a question mark with Logan Mayhews if he's going to be able to make that next step to the NHL and be a full NHL player. Kessel, I still have questions on, especially after you had such a great season a year before and then last year ends up losing out on his starting spot to Tucker. What do you have after Kessel, in your opinion? Because I mean, there's not much, and I mean, I don't know if Theo Lindstein is really ready to make that step. I mean, Corey Schumann, who's a career AHL player, like who's your first call up if this team needs help on defense, in your opinion?
Would be asking that question here right now. Let me pull up. Yeah, Schumann.
We saw Shuey a little bit, and he was okay. I mean,
we did, and he was fine.
Yeah.
He was fine. Let me go and pull up my handy-dandy cheat sheet.
Before you get there, I just want to say that in the two preseason games that we've seen so far, like, I haven't seen much that stood out from, like, a Lindstein or a Loof or whatever. So that's just my personal, like,
I do love that
naked eye look. You know what I mean?
Your chick did get some heavy minutes in today's game, which I do appreciate. He was a -2, but he's healthy and he looks so much better. And I love it because I really do think he's going to be a guy for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I'm going to plug listening to a different podcast because I was listening to Andy Strickland's Hockey Sense. Yeah.
Great one.
And if you caught it, he interviewed Juracek just the other day, and Juracek came on and he says that he gained approximately 25 pounds. Holy smokes.
That's pretty ridiculous. And
that's why you're seeing him so much stronger on the puck, so much stronger in the play. Now, granted, like he's healthy, so that's a huge sign, but he's so much harder to knock off the puck.
Yeah.
You gained 25 pounds, son.
That's
you know,
amazing.
The plan here for Juracek, from what I would imagine, is still to send him back down to Brantford and just, I mean, same thing, just let him cook here in the junior leagues. There's no need to rush him. Lindstein, I mean, again, so he's your left D, and I don't see him ever playing here like on that right side. Samuel Johannesson is a really, really interesting figure for me. He played some really good minutes last year for Springfield. He's only 24.
Yeah.
He's got a year left on his contract. And from some of my contacts with the Thunderbirds is that, I mean, they were raving about this kid. You know, yes, he was a -13. But most of like the people who are on the Thunderbirds were also minus players. So take it with a grain of salt. He had 5 goals, 32 points in 66 games. From everybody I was talking to was that he was very defensively reliable. And I would love for him to at least get a cup of coffee. I think even from an asset management point is that you've got to see what you've got here in this kid before he simply plays the AHL and that's it. You know, because I really like the upside that this could be able to bring here to you. So roundabout way, let's circle this back here. I think it would be Johannesson and Schumann as my top two. I don't think Hunter Skinner here just yet. Again, like I'm just looking at the depth chart, and boy, there's a lot of left defensemen. Yeah, there's so many.
And that's the guy, and a guy that I always kind of had that question on was Buchinger.
Yeah.
I mean, he's only 21, so we still have plenty of time, but I like the game he plays. He's very competitive. He was very gritty in both the camp that I was at. I just don't know what his long-term view of this roster is. And being a lefty, it's kind of hard to gauge in that group, but what do you kind of think about him and his future?
Buchinger, I think he's got to get that defensive game figured out at the pro level, because he's got the offensive capabilities. Like, we mm-hmm. saw it all here at junior. He was injured a lot. I mean, there was a decent amount of players all of last year who were injured at the AHL level. And so it's hard to really say when he only played. Let me get this here pulled up. He played 50 games. It's kind of hard to judge that in your first year only playing 50 games. Yeah. He has the potential, I think, to still be a third pairing defenseman. I mean, very, very, very cautious on saying third pair, because he could, if he puts it all together, he could work his way up to a second pairing defenseman.
Yeah.
But I really, really worry about him. I would put Lucas Fisher here in front of him. I would put Leo Loof in front of him. Quentin Burns, not just yet.
I love Quentin Burns, though. His future, I think, is going to be super good.
He's got to get his discipline under control, though.
Yeah.
Because Quentin Burns here last season, again, he's 20, but he had 100 penalty minutes in 66 games.
Yeah.
He's my kind of guy.
That's coming down. That's coming down from 120 in 58 games the year before. So he's working his way down. But he's got to get that discipline under control, because that's not going to play at the pro level. So it's going to be tough, you know. As long as guys are potentially capable of just playing on their offside, I'm never a huge fan of it. But
a lot of teams do it. Seen it. A lot of teams do it, mainly because it's hard to find right-handed shot defensemen in this league that can be this competitive.
That's why you take the risk on Mayu. You have a surplus of wingers. You can get an probably NHL ready right-handed defenseman who's young and has like the mental to try and take that next step. It's just, you have to take it. And I think that's kind of, now that we know why the move was made, that's why Army's so good.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is.
I mean, to think that you could be seeing a combination of Yiracek, Mayu, and Parayko all down that right-hand side as soon as next season?
Yeah.
Depending on how Yiracek is, I'm not trying to put the cart before the horse, but again, like you said, like he's looking a bit impressive. I think he's going to get a shot next season, especially given this depth chart, but we could see it as soon as next season.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think about.
I think we've talked about your forward group. We've talked about the defense. My question mark is, there's a lot of goalies that are like, what are we doing here kind of thing. Like Colton Ellis is still young. He's 24, but you're going to have to make a decision sooner than later on him. Mm-hmm. And then Zarenko, I did not picture him coming back to this team. I figured he was gone for the KHL. I know we had talked about it, and that was a lot of the rumors. I'm surprised he's back with the Blues organization. I figured they were going to have to go Colton Ellis, Will Cranley down in the AHL. But now you have three goalies that should be getting AHL minutes, because I don't think you can send Will back to the ECHL, in my opinion.
Could.
Yeah.
I think he's better than playing in the ECHL. Looking here at a quick glance here at his stats, I mean, 11-9-3, he really wasn't like the guy for the Florida Everblades. The Florida Everblades honestly weren't that great of a team here though either. So 11-9-3, but a 2.71 and an 8.96. Not fantastic, but again, I would like for him to be able to see some time here, maybe in the AHL. He did get two games in the AHL last year, though. He was, you know, he had one loss, a 4.91 goal against average and an 8.67 save percentage. But again, if he gets more time to actually get ready, acclimated here to the AHL, I think that you could be able to see a decent backup goalie at this point in time. Yeah. But yeah, I fully agree. I don't think Zarenko I think Zarenko's kind of the odd man out here, unfortunately. He's a little too inconsistent here for my comfort, because when he's on, he's really, really on. But he doesn't do it for me. Colton Ellis, like you said, should be up here as an NHL backup, but I think before signing the contract, they were telling him that, and the pure speculation here, by the way, you're going to probably go down here for about one more season, continue to grow, marinate, mature, develop, do all the stuff here that you need to. And likely by next season, we're going to be having you up. But does that mean at the expense of Jordan Binnington? Does that mean that at the expense of Joel Hofer?
Yeah.
You're going to have to make a tough decision either way. And I don't want to see Binnington go, but I think he's the odd man out then at that point in time.
Just due to age, unfortunately. Right? It kind of is what it is at that point. Hofer has to take the next step there. Like, and so does Ellis, obviously. Like, they're kind of forced into that situation almost. Like,
yeah.
And then finally Edmonton can get Binnington. When he's like 35. He can reunite with Berube,
yes.
They can pull a Marty Brodeur and be like, we finally got him.
Oh, man. That'd be wild to see. It's either that or if Hofer doesn't take that step, then you know they could potentially go after Hofer here also.
Yeah.
Boy, that'd be wild.
Oh, they've talked about it for what, a year now? And it's just like, we just laugh at him, you know? It's fun to trip with some Oilers fans. They're a good time. They're good people, but they're fun to mess with.
They're good. But any single good goaltender, any single good player, it doesn't matter who it is, they're going to be rumored to the Leafs or the Oilers. It doesn't matter. They're always going to be rumored to them.
The never-ending cycle of Canadian hockey. And like, we're just one player away. Okay, you've been one player away for the last 5 years, Edmonton. Okay.
Right.
Dude, the Leafs fans thinking they're going to get McDavid, which, you know, you never know, but no. Like, it's so funny. Oh, man.
I'm excited for this team. I think this is going to be a great building block off of last season. I truly think this is a better team going into this year, and I think we can all agree wholeheartedly on that. But as always, like, it's one of those things. You never know what the injury bug is going to be. And like Mike and I have talked since the very beginning, we can't be a slow start team again this year, or we put a nail in our coffin, because I think with Utah getting better and Minnesota still right there, like, if we don't start strong, we're not making the playoffs. And I don't know what your take is on that, like, with this division, or just how you feel about this division. What do you think your playoff teams out of this division would be, Mike?
And that's tough, because like, I was honestly thinking about that on the drive home. As one does, you know, here you have screaming kids in the back of your car and stuff, and you're just like, I wonder what the playoffs look like this coming season here on Sunday, September 21st. That's what we like to be able to do. You know, you're penciling in, I think, Dallas, Colorado should. They should, right? Yeah. Like, Winnipeg should. I don't fully know about that forward group is the biggest thing.
I agree.
And again, can the defense really do it? Like, it's so tough because there's so many shoulds. And again, like, you know, I mentioned here earlier, there's so many teams who have gone from deep contenders to all of a sudden very top heavy contenders.
Yep.
And they're slowly but surely losing that, you know, Winnipeg losing Nick Ehlers. Boy, that's a huge hit. Colorado losing Rantanen, that's a huge hit. Can Jason Robertson be Jason Robertson? Don't know. Will Ottinger be able to return? Don't know. Like, there's so many key question marks, I think, to these top-ranked teams that you just, it's tough. It's tough. And it's going to make situations for teams like the Blues, for Utah, to really be able to push and contend and say, we're here, we're contending. but they need the pieces to fall into their laps here as well.
Yeah. I think that's our biggest thing. We had a lot of teams that are like, yeah, they should make it. Yeah, they should make it. And we're like, five teams really should come out of the Central Division again, because we don't think the Pacific's going to have the chance of getting another wild card. So it'll be interesting to see how this team shakes out. It's interesting to see how the Central Division shakes out. And as always, the Central Division is always the hardest one to predict. And yep. it's a gauntlet. And we've heard that from Army. We've heard it from Jim Montgomery. Like, this division is brutal. It's brutal on your body. It's brutal on your mental game. It's brutal on everything. So it's going to be an interesting year. But I'm ready for hockey to get going. I'm glad they're airing all of the preseason games. And they've been fun with Joey and Chris Kerber. I will say they've been entertaining to listen to. And Joey Vitale is a nut, but I love it. I love it so much. You never know what he's going to say. And that's the best part.
I've had a few interactions with him off camera, you know, just person to person. And he's the same way. It's not a personality. That's just Joey, which is so fun to know. I was like, oh, it's not just a personality on a front you put on. This is legitimately just you. It's fun. You're constantly smiling and laughing, talking to him. Kerb's the exact same way. And just listening to these two are just absolutely fantastic. Very briefly, like, I don't like how the Blues went about the situation.
Yes.
But that's all I'm going to say.
We agree with that. But all right, Blues fans and 5 Minute Major fans, we're going to wrap it up. We can't thank Mike enough for hopping on to talk about the Blues with us. And as always, we appreciate you hopping on. You've been with us since the very beginning, and you have been one of our number one supporters. So thank you so much. And as always, let's enjoy another hockey season, and we'll have you on throughout the year again. If you're always open to it, we'll always take you. We're never opposed to having you on.
Always open to it. Love talking hockey here with you guys. You guys do such a great job, and I just appreciate any single invite every single time.
Thanks, we appreciate Mike. It.
That's very nice of you.
We appreciate it. All right, guys. Thanks again for listening. Please like, share, follow, and October is going to be an exciting month for us. We should have an event coming up at Ballpark Village, actually. So it will be an exciting time, and I will be getting stuff out on social media. If you're interested in getting merch, we will be having that as well. So get your orders in, and I will get t-shirts out to those who are interested. All right. Thanks, y'all. And as always, Mikey.
Let's go Blues.
Let's go Blues.